Many people often refer to the outline as Romans Road. Romans still has more chapters, contiguous chapters, about Israel than any other book. All of chapter 9, pretty much all of chapter 10, and all of chapter 11 are primarily about the Jews. And tonight we're moving into that newer section last week, that great verse, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord for the power of hearing the preaching of God's word. But then Paul again, here in the rest of the chapter and on into chapter 11, talks about Israel. So notice verse 18 of Romans chapter 10. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. So our title tonight is God Hath Not Cast Away His People. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful to be able to open your word together this evening and hear from the Holy Spirit. May our hearts be open to your teachings. May you guide us in your truth and be glorified. And we give you this service in Jesus' name. Amen. So God here, referring to the Old Testament quite frequently in this passage, by reminding us that there will always be a remnant. We're in the New Testament. I mean, we're in the church epistles. And yet there are teachings among some independent Baptist churches, believe it or not, that God is finished with Israel and that the church has supplanted Israel and that the promises to Israel now go to the church and he's done with the Jews. I don't know how they can reconcile that with Scripture, the many unconditional promises of the Old Testament. And he refers to some of those things in here. But he starts there in verse 21 by saying, all day long, I've been reaching out to Israel year after year, decade after decade, century after century. Let's look at some of those. Isaiah 65, verse 2. And as we've seen, as we've walked through the minor prophets, the majority, if you had to pick one thing in the minor prophets that would be the majority topic, it would be God calling out to his children, begging them to come back to him. Notice Isaiah 65, verse 2, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. So this is the verse that Paul is quoting here in Romans chapter 10. Let's look at another one, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23. Jeremiah 5:23. It says, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. So this is God describing his own people, Israel, his chosen people. And yes, they were rebellious and revolting and so forth. But Does that mean he quit on them 100%? Does that mean they're done? They're gone? He's cast them away? And Paul is addressing that question because many of the Gentile converts would have begun to ask that question. Remember, the church started in Jerusalem, but it very quickly spread into Gentile cities. And it wasn't long before the Gentile converts outnumbered the Jewish converts. And the Gentiles began to ask, so what does all this mean? Is God done with the Jews? Because now the Gentiles are embracing the gospel so much faster, so much quicker than the Jews. And so God wrote through Paul the answer to that. But let's look at another passage over in Matthew 23. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ's, if you will, kind of his final rejection of his offer to Israel to give them their kingdom. Remember when he first came on the scene, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That offer has been withdrawn, and this is like the official withdrawal. So notice down in verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." So there's no question who he's talking to. Amen. He's not talking to the Gentiles. He says, "Thou that killest the prophets, stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye would not." In other words, how often would I have welcomed you into my arms? Verse 38, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." And sure enough, in 70 A.D., Jerusalem was razed to the ground by Titus. And then verse 39, "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." I love this passage because it not only contains the rejection, but it also contains a promise. Amen? That one day, not these exact same Jews, but one day the nation, a remnant of the nation, will say, when Jesus returns to the earth, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." In other words, God is not done with the Jews. Amen? And there will be Jews that will recognize and receive the Messiah when he returns, which he hasn't come yet, but he will. So back to our passage here in Romans 11. Paul then asks this rhetorical question, which, believe it or not, I'm talking Bible-believing churches are teaching now, that God's done with Israel. But he says, "Hath God cast away his people?" There's the question. In other words, is he done? Has he cast the Israel off to the side? Look at his answer. God forbid. God forbid. It's impossible that he could have because, again, remember when we went through the book of Isaiah, when we went through the book of Jeremiah, all those promises that God made to Israel, many of them were unconditional. His first promise to Israel was when he started Israel with Abraham in Genesis 12. God didn't say, "I will do this if you do this." He just said, "This is what I'm going to do." Full stop. And he did that many times in the Old Testament. Because it's not about them and their behavior. It's about him and keeping his promises to his chosen people. And so Paul says, God forbid. He has not cast away his people. And then he says that, verse 2, God hath not cast away his people. How can you get any more clear than that? He has not cast away the Jews. He has not finished with the Jews. Are they still living in disobedience pretty much as a nation? Yes. Will they have to go through even more tribulation and trials in the tribulation period? Absolutely. But they will not be wiped out completely. God will, as he says here later on, there will be a remnant. So let's look at some Old Testament equivalent to this, Psalm 94, 14. And just be reminded that if anybody tries to tell you that God is done with Israel, they just need to go read their Bible. And stop listening to false teachers. Amen? Psalm 94, 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Is that clear? In other words, God will never do it. He's not saying there, unless they're disobedient, and then he will change his mind. No, that's all. He says he will never do it. He will never cast off his people. Let's look at another one, Isaiah 49, verse 15. And these are kind of the Old Testament equivalents of what we're looking at here in Romans 11. Isaiah 49, 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Well, God made us, so he knows that that's pretty much impossible. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. He's speaking to Israel. God says, I'm not going to forget you. And then just drive to point home, Romans 11, 5, look what he says. Even so, then, at this present time, also there is a remnant. So he's saying, even now, and that was in Paul's day, but you and I could sit here today and say, yes, even now there's a remnant. Now, it may not be millions and millions, but there is a remnant. And God has said this over and over again in the Scriptures. Remember back in chapter 9, verse 27. Turn back there. Romans 9, 27. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's New Testament. A remnant shall be saved. And then let's look at some quick verses in Isaiah chapter 10. In verse 20. And so all through the Old Testament, and now even in the New Testament, God promises that there will always be a remnant and that he will not cast off his people. Isaiah 10, 20. Look what he says. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. It's pretty clear, isn't it? And this is the passage he's quoting. Let's look at another one, Isaiah 11, 11, just one chapter over, and verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros, and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That hasn't happened yet. This is something God says, I will do with the remnant in the future. God hasn't rescinded that, has he? He hasn't said, oh, I changed my mind. Of course, if God makes a promise, he never changes his mind. Amen. One more, Ezekiel 6, 8. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 8. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations when ye shall be scattered through the countries. Are the Jews scattered through the countries? Yep. There's Jews everywhere. They've been scattered pretty much since the days of the captivities. There was a tiny little bit that came back under Ezra and Nehemiah, but basically, since the captivities and the final captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, Israel's pretty much just been scattered. And what does God say? In the New Testament, in Romans 11, 5, there is a remnant. And what does Paul say in the answer to the question that so many ask, hath God cast away his people? Verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. He has not done it, and he never will. The next time somebody tries to tell you he's done with Israel, don't go to the Old Testament, go to the New Testament. Amen? Go to Romans 11. and say, actually, people were asking that same question 2,000 years ago of Paul. And Paul answered the question. So let's see what Paul had to say. No, God hath not cast away his people. And he never will. You know, that's exciting for us as Christians, because when we got saved, we became his children. Amen. And he promised, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So it's not the same as the promises to Israel and the remnant and the tribulation period and all of that, but as born again, blood bought children of God, we can say God will not cast us out either, which is such a blessing to know that we are secure in Jesus Christ. But let us continue to pray for the Jews. Continue to believe, as God has told us clearly in his word, I'm sure more than 100 times, that the promises he has made to them to give them a kingdom will all come true in the future. And how many times have we seen that this kingdom, you and I will be there, but it'll be Jewish. And it'll be run by a Jew named Jesus Christ. And he will sit on the throne of a Jew named David. Amen? It'll be Jewish. You and I, just were fortunate enough, as we'll see later on in chapter 11, to be grafted in. Hallelujah for that. So I know God hath not cast away his people. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for reminding us of this wonderful truth tonight, that when you choose a people and when you make promises to those people, you always keep them. And though many scoff because it's been so long, Lord, we don't doubt you. We know you will keep your promises, and we thank you that you always do. And so, Lord, we look forward to that day when you take us home, but also when we get to return with you and be a part of that wonderful kingdom you've been promising for centuries. Thank you. And thank you for not casting